Congregation may be seated as Daughter Wiki comes forward to deliver the eulogy and family reflections.
On behalf of Chip and me, thank you all for being here. My mother would have been tickled to have all of her favorite people together today. When beginning to compose my mother's eulogy, it quickly became apparent that the usual chronological history just wouldn't fit. Heavens forbid my mom made anything easy. But in reality, my mother was her own best storyteller, weaving her narratives into everyday conversations and frequently sharing her personal history unabashedly. So instead, I find myself sharing with you where I am right now, just for today, in my grief over the loss of my mom. And it may get a little bumpy, but as a dear friend has reminded me, none of you are expecting pretty and perfect, but instead real and authentic, and that I can deliver. In case you didn't know, we were one of those families with lots of stuff on our fridge. Our fridge looked like some misplaced back of a retiree's RV, with lots of magnets of places that Chip, Mom, and I had visited, plus a handful of hippo magnets, and of course, a bunch from Haiti. And they held up the most random array of items: theater tickets, recipes, fabric swatches, to-do lists. Looking back, it was like a glimpse inside my mom's head. And there were two magnets with quotes on them. The first read, "Good shoes open all doors," which is still solid advice. And the second read, "Leap and the net will appear." And that quote, that magnet that I must have looked at but never seen a gazillion times, is where I find myself today. "Leap and the net will appear" touches on two qualities of my mom I hope we can all carry with us: her courage and her faith. My mom was always so courageous and annoyingly expected it in others. I don't know about any of you, but I frequently had to remind her that I was not as brave as her, and she needed to slow down. But my mom had the courage to laugh loudly when being quiet would have been easier. My mom had the courage to make bold or hard decisions, to do what was right, even at a detriment to herself. And my mom had the courage to keep on dreaming, even later on, in spite of her cancer diagnosis. She never lost sight of the house on the hill overlooking the lake, William Wallace in his life preserver in her Adirondack canoe. And that courage lived side by side with her faith in God, her faith in herself, in you, in me, and always, always in a better tomorrow. And she kept that courage, faith, connection through her cancer journey. That indomitable spirit that we all know to be such an integral part of her. It was actually when that indomitable spirit began to wane that I knew my mom's journey was coming to an end. So when we leave here today and we mourn her smile, her vivaciousness, her brightness when she walked into a room, her love, I hope we all carry a bit of her courage and her faith with us as well. And I will leave with you Mom's words to Kathleen and me after Mom decided to go to hospice and she knew she was dying. Looks like this will be my next adventure. I think this must be what the colonists felt like, setting out for the new world. I feel filled with wonder and excitement over my next journey.
Thank you, Wiki. Now I'm going to invite Michael to come forward for the reading of a special poem.
Hello, my name is Michael. How do you do this, right? It's so hard. It's such a privilege and honor to be asked to stand up and speak to Carolyn, about Carolyn, to her family and friends we all know and love. Carolyn often talked about being in retirement and traveling to Greece, and I've always promised her I'd go with her. And when I was asked to do a reading, this is the first thing that popped into my mind, and I knew immediately what I thought would be appropriate, meaningful, and represent Carolyn's relationship to the world, but also my relationship with her. This is a poem entitled Ithaca. It was written by Constantine Kafafi. He was a Greek poet from Alexandria, Egypt, and he wrote this at the turn of the last century. This poem was also recited at the death or funeral service for another great lady, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. As you set out for Ithaca, hope your road is a long one, full of adventure, full of discovery. Laestrygonians, Cyclops, and angry Poseidon, don't be afraid of them. You never find things like that on your way, as long as you keep your thoughts raised high, as long as a rare excitement stirs your spirit and your body. Laestrygonian, Cyclops, wild Poseidon, you won't encounter them unless you bring them along inside your soul, unless your soul sets them up in front of you. Hope your road is a long one. May there be summer mornings when with pleasure, with joy, you enter harbors you're seeing for the first time. May you stop at Phoenician trading stations to buy fine things, mother of pearl, coral, amber, ebony, essential perfume of every kind, as many essential perfumes as you can. And may you visit many Egyptian cities to learn and to go on learning from their scholars. Keep Ithaca always in your mind. Arriving there is what you're destined for. But don't hurry the journey at all. Better if it lasts for years, so you're old by the time you've reached the island, wealthy with all that you've gained along the way, not expecting Ithaca to make you rich. Ithaca gave you the marvelous journey. Without her, you wouldn't have set out. She has nothing left to give you now. If you find her poor, Ithaca won't have fooled you. Wise as you have will become, so full of experience, you'll have understood by then what these Ithacas mean.
Thank you, Michael. Let us pray. Creator of the universe, how infinite and astonishing are your worlds. Thank you for sacred art and sustaining presence. Divine imagination, forgive our blindness, open all of our eyes, reveal the light of truth. Let original beauty guide our every movement. Universal creativity flow through us, from our hearts, through our minds, to our hands. Infuse all our work with spirit to feed hungry souls. Amen. This prayer Written by Alex Gray, an artist himself, alludes to another famous poem and a famous line written by John Keats. Beauty is truth, truth, beauty. That is all ye know on earth and all ye need to know. These words speak to an awareness of reality that elevates art to its proper place in the importance of things. The importance of fostering, encouraging art and artists, dancers and singers, musicians and actors, all those who strive to speak truth through beauty. Carolyn Wathy Lee did that through her life. Think of what a career behind the scenes can do for others. Imagine a child brought to the grand theater we know as the Kravis Center and wide-eyed experiences a full cast musical theater production for the first time. And that energy and impetus inspires that person to their own life's pursuit of the arts. Imagine a young student entering the School of the Arts and, because of his or her experience there, embarks on a career and becomes a professional symphony musician. Or imagine a retired widow who attends the opera as she has for many years and is moved to tears of joy from the sheer beauty of the aria sung, and is given that joy and hope to journey through another chapter in her life. We'll never know all the countless stories that someday will be revealed to us in heaven. But we do know that there would be no stories unless there were people like Carolyn who created a legacy and helped others to leave their own legacy by helping others along the way to find truth in the beauty of the arts in all its forms. We just heard John's Gospel, chapter 6. A section of John's Gospel that we in the Christian church know as the Bread of Life Discourse in John. John wrote his whole gospel for those who were struggling to hang on to their faith in a difficult time, to reassure them, to comfort them, to strengthen them. And so it is truly a most appropriate gospel for all of us today. That in times like this, we are moved to ask the ultimate questions of what truly matters. What is it that lasts forever? Or in terms of legacy, what is it that we leave behind that will last forever, both in memory and in those who come after us? That's a simple answer. It's love. It is in love that we find the ultimate expression of truth and beauty. Giving of ourselves so that others may be fulfilled, whether it is in our families, in our churches, or in our careers. For those who have not been brought to the point in their lives of seeing Jesus as we Christians see him, just substitute total, complete, self-sacrificial love whenever you hear that name. Because that's what Jesus is. Total, complete, self-sacrificial love. And receiving and giving that same love, we find our ultimate life and legacy. We all have our own images and memories of those photos, postcards, and sayings, as Wiki mentioned, or posted on our family refrigerators. It's a comforting remembrance of perhaps less complicated times in our lives. There's the often quoted story of someone arriving in heaven and entering the many rooms in God's house, and the person chances upon the kitchen where they behold God standing before a multitude, pointing to the endless photos on the refrigerator. And when questioned about the seeming endless catalog of photos, God responds, "These are all my children, every one of them, and I know them all, and I love them all." What's the legacy that God wishes to give to all of us? It's that love. It's that eternal life. It's that knowing that our photo's up on God's fridge and he speaks of each one of us proudly. This eternal life, not just a place in heaven when we die, but a taste of that eternal life now from the one who is the bread of life. It is to know the truth, the beauty that, yes, my photo's on that fridge. And that God is the proudest papa and mama for each one of us. And in receiving that legacy and in striving to share it, each in our own unique way, our deepest longings are fulfilled, never to hunger, never to thirst, in the deepest part of our being. In simple terms, to receive that self-sacrificial love so that I might become that self-sacrificial love and thereby find the truth, the beauty of life that God intends for every one of us. Carolyn lived out her life helping others to create a legacy. In her philanthropic work with New World School of the Arts, the Palm Beach Opera, the Kravis Center for the Performing Arts, Carolyn helped her communities develop the necessary resources for the beauty of art to take root and expand in our world. And in so doing, she embodied the gospel message of love that helps us experience truth through the expression of beauty. There are so many countless others who help others to succeed by their valiant dedication. In her own way, Carolyn succeeded in expanding our experience of beauty and thereby truth, similarly to those women in the early days of the church that are somewhat silent in our speech, like Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, a woman whose story retold in the book of Acts, who devoted her resources as well as her time and labor to a life of practical service. Like Mary, the mother of John Mark, who used her resources to enable the early church to have a gathering space large enough for them to meet. Like Lydia, a Gentile attracted to the God of the Jewish scriptures and once converted, placed her home and her resources at the disposal of Paul and his ministry team, and in so doing, provided a bridgehead for the mission of the church to spread the love of Jesus across Europe. Like Damaris, a well-educated woman who had access to Greek academia and high culture, and that she showed that the gospel reached beyond the poor and the disenfranchised to everyone, regardless of gender or social class. And of course, like Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the Episcopal Church, as in most Christian churches, we celebrate this weekend the third Sunday of Advent. Traditionally, we title it the Sunday of Joy. As we contemplate the angel Gabriel telling Mary, "Rejoice, O highly favored daughter,
for you are to be the mother of Jesus. That same angel tells Mary, fear not, Mary, for you will conceive and you will bear a son. Our resulting joy is in Mary's own joyful acceptance and embracing of all this news. In other important words, the choice was not in whether or not Mary would accept her calling, but her choice was in how she would choose to respond to her calling. In so many ways, it's the same for us as it was for Carolyn. But be sure to understand correctly. God did not cause Carolyn's cancer. God doesn't work that way. It just happened. Our God is a God of compassion. And just as Mary wept at Jesus' tomb, God weeps with us today. But the miracle here is that Carolyn chose to respond to her news like Mary did, to let her faith overcome her fear, to use her limited time well to be an instrument of peace and love. Sometimes we meet people who remind us of Jesus in some way. In that every time you leave a room after talking with this person, you feel better about yourself. It's like Paul writing to the Corinthians in the first scripture we heard today, building them up, reminding them of how special and gifted they are as the crucial opening to talking to them about loving one another. Was that not Carolyn in her professional and personal life, especially in her final days? She filled up a room, as they say, but more importantly, she filled you up, made you feel good about life and about yourself. When Carolyn had begun hospice care, I was honored to go with Reverend Kathleen for a short visit to anoint her, to have a prayer with her, to talk with her. And in the midst of coming to terms with the end of her own earthly life, Carolyn didn't want the conversation about herself. She wanted to talk about my own health challenges at the time. It wasn't about her. It was about others. Back in 1981, Dan Schutte, an artist, a musician, and singer, was asked by a friend to write a song of commitment for that friend's ordination to become a deacon. And in a three-day period, Dan Schutte crafted a hymn that we're going to sing at our offertory today. Here I Am, Lord. Dan Schutte tells the story that he reflected about the firm commitment of someone about to dedicate their life to God. And so following the scriptural calls of the great prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Samuel, he wrote confident lyrics. Here I am, Lord. Here I stand, Lord. His friend, for whom he had written the song, previewed the hymn and asked Dan to revise it, to make it less confident, to make it a bit more hesitant, unsure, with some self-doubt. For it was in the midst of all that, like Mary, that his friend felt that he was making his commitment. And so now this hymn comes down to us in more of that questioning self-doubt tone. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? In the midst of her own uncertainty, questioning, Carolyn chose faith. As she chose faith with all the churches with which she had membership, with her commitment to the Daughters of the King, and ultimately in her going on from this world. That's the ultimate legacy which Carolyn leaves us and that we celebrate here today. In our own questioning, self-doubts, may we continue to know that we are on God's fridge and choose life, eternal life, that Carolyn now experiences in its fullness and that we are called to experience more in our lives as we continue to seek and to find all the truth and beauty and love that is there. Amen.